We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
We are joined by Zach Jackson of The Athletic as well. Zach, thanks for taking a couple minutes, man.
I didn't even think Jason knew where the East Side was, so it's interesting to hear.
There's snow on the ground out here.
There is here.
It's unbelievable.
I'm not leaving my mom's basement. Yeah.
We got him out with the people. That's all that matters. He's enjoying his first remote with 92.3 The Fan, understanding that some people at bars don't really care to hear what we're saying, and others people are just kind of, when you walk in the doors, you're just signed up for it. That's what you get.
That's right. I am a Westsider, though. You're right. This was a really long way out for me. I didn't need my GPS to find it.
So, Zach, you wrote what I think is a fantastic article. I want to put people towards it over at The Athletic on Tanner Vallejo. I think anytime you can do anything that spotlights children's oncology, and in particular a story that goes as well as it did for Tanner's family, I think is always a really cool thing about his brother Hunter, and who is now a freshman at Sierra College in California. Just dive into a little bit of the background there and some of the research, and then, of course, Tanner's role after he balled out last week, and, of course, the Browns will need him this week.
Yeah, so Tanner Vallejo is new to the Browns. He's claimed on waivers back on Labor Day weekend, and he's been a special teamer. And last week had to play 39 defensive snaps because of all the injury losses that they've had there. And so when you talk about research, I went up to Tanner to talk about a football story, and he told me about his brother. So I went on Instagram, and I found his brother. And 2 days later, we talked. And, at 6 months old, he was basically told by seven different doctors at seven different hospitals that he had a brain tumor, that he was not going to make it past his first birthday. And he's now 19 and going to college, and his brother's playing in the NFL. So I appreciate you bringing that up. It was really cool. It was a nice change of pace, and it was really cool to kind of dig in and to talk to Tanner and listen to him say, you know, we're a football family, and this is what I've done. And my why is my brother, who never got to play football, and then, you know, to talk to him and listen to him talk about coming from California to Buffalo and Cleveland and watching his brother on TV. And, you know, this is the real life thing here is Tanner's making checks and is guaranteed nothing. But he's driven by this to go on and have a long career. And I think, you know, he's one of seven or eight Browns players who really have a lot at stake over these next few games that are going to quickly be forgotten, and we're all into the coaching search, but there's guys trying to make an impression and trying to have a long career here, and I think he's one of those guys that's going to get a chance that wouldn't have gotten this chance in another situation.
So, Zach, let's pull back the curtain a little bit on this process. You know, it was funny. I joked on Twitter today. I think it was last week. I think it was the game Sunday where I kind of looked at you and said, who the hell is Tanner Vallejo? I've never even heard of this guy. And so just kind of walk through the process of how difficult – you've been around this team for so long. How difficult it is to cover a team that never wins, that's constantly losing, and to find stories like this. Just kind of the process that you have to go through to dig out and find something like this.
Yeah. So for years, as people have asked me, hey, you know, what are the guys like? What do you know? And I said, well, when you go in the locker room, it's no different than any other group you go to. You have some that are just – outstanding and outgoing and get along with everybody. You have some that are as friendly as they need to be and do their jobs, and you have some that are standoffish, and for whatever reason, you don't click with them. You don't see eye to eye with them. And you add that human life thing to the fact that the Browns are always losing and guys in the locker room don't want to talk, and there's not a lot to talk about other than failing or hiring and firing the next coach or what's going on. It's making headlines, it is difficult. So I know it was last week that you said that, Jason, because we wouldn't have seen Tanner Vallejo on the field until last week, except for covering kicks or blocking on punt returns and when the Browns get a flag every single time on those. So yeah. I just kind of went up and I introduced myself, and I was just talking to him mostly about Boise State football, because there's a lot of guys through the years that Boise has either discovered as walk-ons or maybe was the only one to recruit. And they went there and starred. It turns out that wasn't the case for Tanner, but he just mentioned his brother. And I said, I kind of followed up, and you know, we talked about what I think was a pretty cool story, and I was able to find his brother and get some extra insights. So it's better to be lucky than good sometimes, and that was the case with this story.
And you can check out that story on The Athletic, of course. Zach Jackson joins us on the hotline from The Athletic. You know, you also developed a relationship with Joe Schobert this offseason, Zach, and he's a huge part to this defense, and they're missing him big time. That's the reason why Vallejo is going to play, because they've got no Kirksey, they've got no Schobert. When do we expect Schobert back, if at all?
Yeah, I think he's going to play this week. You know,
you think
hamstrings.
So?
Yeah, maybe you sit him one more week because it's a hamstring and it's tender, and if you sit him one more week, you get two more weeks to rest. But he wants to play. So you're right, Dustin. He is absolutely an integral part of the defense from a communication standpoint, from a pass defense standpoint, from a closing speed on screens. We know, you know, how they've defended and how they've struggled against those. So, yeah, I think there is a part of that discussion is, did he play too much the way Larry Ogunjobi and Myles Garrett and other guys have had to? And did that contribute to his injury? Or was he just wrong place, wrong time, had a strain, and it's cost him? You know, he's never missed a game at any level. And now he's missed basically a month. And you're right, the defense is not the same without Joe Schobert out there. And we've seen that, I think, show up in different iterations, because it's not like he makes a bunch of huge tackles or interceptions, but he is all over the field, and he had played every down in 21 straight games before he got hurt.
Zach, yesterday I said on the show that I got another text from somebody else about Matt Campbell, that the smoke is real, that I don't know exactly what's going to happen, if there is something happening behind the scenes. You're very close to the situation. You know Matt personally. What can you tell us about the potential for Matt Campbell to be a coach for the Cleveland Browns?
There's absolutely real smoke. But with Matt Campbell or with anyone else here in early to mid-November, I don't think it's anything besides smoke. I think he's one of the guys that's easier to connect the dots on. You know, as you know and as Jason knows, I have been digging behind the scenes on some things, but I can't say that Matt Campbell's going to be the coach or that Matt Campbell's going to get an interview. I think there's interest there both ways on some level, and I expect him to be a candidate. However, right now I think lots of guys are candidates, and I just think as ugly as this has been, this is a good thing for the Browns, and that John Dorsey has time to, you know, contact or do research or all of the above on all of the candidates. And I think Dorsey and who he trusts the most have time to really sit down and hash out what they want in the next coach, and then match that to who by the time it comes around. But today is like November 9th or something like that, and, you know, the NFL's formal interview period isn't until the weekend of January 6th. You know, you have guys that could potentially coach into February. You have college coaches that could potentially coach into the second week of January. So even if you wanted to reach out formally to a college coach or a retired coach right now, you wouldn't, you know, that would still leave guys in the process. We're not going to know anything on John Harbaugh until after the Browns play on December 30th. So yes. Do I believe Matt Campbell is a candidate for the Browns job? Yes, but it is too early to say that there's a favorite or that there's a real chance that he would be the coach.
Joined by The Athletic, Zach Jackson here on 92.3 The Fan. So, Zach, I'm looking at Baker as why I watch these games moving forward. Obviously, there's other things that someone that covers the team has to be watching as well. Like, what are you in particular looking for? Is it how the wide receivers shake out? Is it what they do with Duke Johnson? Like, how much can we carry over from one year to the next that actually matters?
You know, that's a great question, and I think that's probably one you could say, on one hand, a lot carries over, and on the other hand, not much, you know, considering it figures to be a brand new system, mostly a brand new supporting cast next year, and any rookie would be anxious to move past his rookie season. But I'm watching the body language. I'm watching how Baker is responding to the guys around him. He's very hard on himself, and you've seen that when he's missed a couple. But honestly, he hasn't missed that many. He's hung in there pretty well, and he has kept his chin up afterwards. So it hasn't been great for him, and it certainly hasn't been good for the team. But I think he's handled things. And I think the most important thing, other than staying physically healthy, is that he gets every experience out of this next 6 weeks, taking hits, avoiding hits, throwing balls that should be caught, whether they're caught or not, playing in bad weather, playing three more division games, and then just comes out of this before he has some chance to really unwind, because this is hard on rookies. Knowing what he did well, what he needs to do better, and then coming back fresh, because it's going to be super important and interesting off season. It's like mid-April when he can get that playbook for the first time. And obviously there's a chance that they're going to be building an entire offense just around him. So he's the guy that counts the most right now. And he's the guy that constitutes what's really different about this rebuild, this coaching change, whatever, because nobody has ever come in through all this stuff of the last decade plus, last three decades, if you want to, and had this quarterback in place who you know is going to be the guy as the next chapter begins.
Zach, I know we were talking during the game Sunday, and I brought up in the opening segment that my biggest concern is just protecting him and keeping him healthy. How do you think that they are in terms of that? Where are they in terms of protecting him, and are you concerned at all about any long-term damage that he could sustain physically, not so much mentally, but physically, the rest of this year?
Yeah, I don't think so. I mean, you don't want him to get hit, but that's part of the game. I certainly perked up when I heard him kind of go to bat for Greg Robinson as a left tackle. I think that was a not so subtle message about him getting hit. So yeah, Jason, I mean, I think there's a chance that 3, 4, 5 weeks from now, you might need to have a discussion about how much he is getting hit. But by the same token, the guy's not going to take himself out of the game. He's going to keep coming up. And as long as he can avoid a major injury, the kind of which sometimes happens actually more freakishly than getting too many hits, then you leave him out there because he needs the experience. But, yeah, I mean, it's certainly when you make a list of concerns or what don't I like here besides the losing, besides every screen pass going for 65 yards, it's that your quarterback has just for a month now been taking too many shots.
Zach, we had a discussion earlier before you came on about what wide receivers we think will be on this roster next year. Guys that are here now that will be back next season. We were talking about how the Browns definitely need to upgrade that position. They need a legitimate number one receiver to play alongside Jarvis Landry. Who do you think among the Browns receivers now that they already have will be back next year?
Well, the contract says Landry's back for sure and in a big role. Callaway, I think, was always drafted for next year. He's had to play more than I think anybody's wanted or more than he was ready for this year. But I think that was always a selection made with next year in mind. Rashard Higgins is headed to restricted free agency, but I would be shocked if he's not back. He has developed a rapport with Mayfield and proven that he can play in the NFL. I might not have believed that a year from now, but I see him in that number 3/number 4 receiver role going forward. Ratley and Willis were always developmental guys, and now Rashad Perriman has come along. So he'll be a free agent, but I could see him being back. The free agent receiver class is not going to be good. It's going to be somewhere between thin and downright awful. So you're going to see a situation where you have to use some of these mid-round picks you've acquired in trades to make trades like the one that brought you Landry and Demaryius Randall and Tyrod Taylor last year. And then you're going to have to really evaluate the heck out of this receiver draft and say, is there a guy that's ready to play? Is there a guy that can be our number one? Because when
Zach,
you look
I'm already
around,
on the David, Zach, I'm on the David Sills train already, buddy.
Yeah, well, you want Matt Campbell to come and bring Hakeem Butler too. I know that. I know that.
Yeah.
yeah. So I think you're really going to have to look and say, okay, Golden Tate, for example, and some other guys out there, are they really that much different than Jarvis Landry? Like, do we need to overpay there? Or can we find some guys in the draft that's ready? Because you don't have that number one going forward, and it's not easy to do that. So are you going to build an offense where that really doesn't matter? Are you going to put that trust in Antonio Callaway? And I really think, right or wrong, I really think that this regime has that kind of belief in Antonio Callaway. And then, is it the second round? Is it the third round? Is it a combination of those? To where you can get some guys. I mean, it's too early to know, as you mentioned, David Sills, Anthony Johnson, the kids from Ole Miss. you know, how early are they really going to be evaluated? And then you'll have a guy like Paris Campbell, who is a total freak and has the speed of a number one receiver and is still very much learning the position. And, you know, how early does he get drafted? And can a team like the Browns afford for him to go along for a couple years learning the game? You know, if he's, say, a high third round pick, something like that. So, as I say, the beauty of covering the Browns is we got months and months to talk about coaching searches and the draft.
And we'll do just that. Zach Jackson, The Athletic, great stuff. We appreciate the time, man.
Have fun, guys.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.